Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. My name's Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins me today. And Andrew, glad to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here, Bob.
Well, here's what we're going to do today. We've got a lot of calls already lined up for us. We still have room for others to join the broadcast. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. But we're going to start today and right with our phone calls, and we're going to go first to Janison.
Hi, my name is Janison. I had a few questions concerning a friend who says she's a Christian but has a few beliefs that aren't quite in line with Christianity. One of them is she doesn't believe in the whole Bible. She says it's written by man, so it's flawed. And I want to make sure I explain to her the best way possible and why it's true and it is not flawed. And then another question I had was, how do I explain to her that, like, hell is real? Because she believes in heaven, but she doesn't believe in hell. She thinks it's kind of cool. That doesn't make sense, though. If you can put this on the air next time, that'd be great. Thank you.
Hey, Andrew, that's a great question, isn't it? And we all need to know why the Word of God has authority in our lives and that it is something that can be trusted. So how do we know this Bible truly is the Word of God? How do we know that it brings to our hearts truth that will set us free?
Well, you know, as you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the 66 books of the Bible, you look at other religious books in comparison, things like the Quran or the Book of Mormon, and what you're finding there is, you know, one or two or three authors at most, and here you have dozens and dozens of authors over hundreds and thousands of years, all proclaiming the same message. And I think that is first and foremost as we talk about this, Bob. And then you look at what the Bible says about itself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So, you know, we don't want to worship a book without understanding who the author is and recognize that that's the purpose of the Bible, is to point us to Jesus. But we also want to have the same view that Paul, Peter, James, and John did of their own writings. I remember that Peter at one point is sort of dumbfounded by some of Paul's statements, and he says that Paul teaches many things that are difficult to understand, that other people twist like they do the other scriptures. And I want us to think about that word, that phrase, other scriptures, because Peter is saying that what Paul writes, even though it's difficult to understand for him, that he sees it as scripture. So these are not just people writing random letters to friends. This is scripture. From Isaiah to Jeremiah to Paul to Peter to James to John, this is scripture inspired by God, profitable for teaching. And we see that, again, in the hundreds and thousands of years that the message of Messiah is proclaimed, and that message still stands today. I mean, there is evidence of the cross and the resurrection, evidence of the life and teachings of Jesus, and that evidence cannot be refuted to this very hour. And so, Bob, there's a lot of reasons we want to put confidence in the Bible, but even more importantly, we want to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author of that, the focus of that, and put our faith in Him. That's what matters most.
Absolutely. And we even have the credibility of Jesus' testimony concerning the Word of God. He said, "Thy Word is truth." And if he's God and he says the word of God is truth, then that almost ends the argument, doesn't it?
I
mean, it's his word, and that brings authority to the word of God. I know Janison also had a question about hell, and I think this is a good discussion because there's a lot of questions today about hell. There's many people coming to the forefront saying, hey, hell is just a made-up thing, but not according to the Word of God, is it? And how do we talk about that?
Well, I think we don't have to apologize for the existence of this place or talk around it or shove it under the carpet. I think we have to talk about this place of punishment the same way that Jesus did and the same way that the apostles did. You look at Matthew 25, verse 46, it says, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Then you know, that's Jesus. And then you pop over to Paul in 2 Thessalonians, and it says, they will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So it's not a pretty picture. It's not fun to talk about. But let's just think about this for a minute. Is God throwing, you know, human beings in hell, forcing them to be there? That's not the case. This is the God who warned Adam and Eve. He said, in the day you eat of this, you will die. And the implication there is, I don't want you to die. I'm warning you because I love you and I have deep concern over you, and I'm begging you to depend on me and not eat of this tree. In the day you eat of it, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's not that I'm going to kill you. It's that you're going to die. That is the inevitable consequence of Adam and Eve and their choice. And so, you know, the God in that garden who was concerned over them is the same God that is with us today. And his desire, we see in the New Testament, his desire is none perish and all believe. So still his heart is toward us. And, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world, and he's imploring us, begging us, as he did through Paul in Corinthians, we beg you, be reconciled to God. That's what God wants. And so if we choose death over life, if we choose to reject Messiah, if we choose to say no to Jesus, well, we are creatures that have an eternal part of us. I mean, we're not just flesh and bones. We're not just a brain and a body. We have a spiritual component to us. And if we're not in Christ and we're not seated in heavenly places, then where are we headed? And that's just an inevitable consequence of unbelief. So don't look at it as God forcing people into that place of punishment. It is ultimately our choice to reject the Creator, reject Messiah, and it's the inevitable consequence of spiritual death in Adam.
Yeah, so Janison, show some good words of encouragement to you is when you're having this conversation with your friend, try to keep moving the conversation towards Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's good news. And that's the power of the gospel that can penetrate, that can cut through all of those confusing, skeptical thoughts and bring some clarity to a person's understanding so that they can see, truly see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here with us today. We have a wonderful resource we want to put in your hands this month. It's called Simply Grace. It's a six-message CD series, one that we recorded from our conference back in September. If you want to know how the Christian life is really supposed to work, this is a CD series for you. It will be six messages that will deeply encourage you, will help you take a deep dive into the Word of God and see the wonders and the amazement of God's grace and how that grace not only saves you, but sustains you and empowers you to live as a child of God in this world of darkness. So it's yours for a gift this month through Basic Gospel. All the information on how you can give and request your copy is available at our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button, or we have a big banner right on the front page that you can click as well. follow all the instructions, come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel, and then request your copy of this particular CD series. This is a resource I'm excited to put into your hands, because I know if you listen and if you let the Word of God that we bring forth in this series, if you let that Word of God just soak down into your mind and into your soul, it will transform you in ways that you never dreamed possible. So be sure and request your copy of Simply Grace at basicgospel.net. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. Let's go to Plano, Texas, and talk with Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Yes, I was wanting to understand better when God-believing Jews claim salvation is imputed to them by faith in God, and that their salvation is through the original covenant, that they're standing on. They're standing on valid ground. Also, if the salvation was revocable, does that have a scriptural underpinning in Old Testament or New Testament? And then if you look at the timeline, why would God have blinded their eyes and closed their minds, as it mentions in John, going back to, I think, Isaiah, referencing back? Why also, and then they claim that if the covenant was revocable, or salvation is revocable, then that forms a new religion. Can you comment on any of that?
Yeah, we sure can, Jeff. Andrew, take off.
Yeah, well, first of all, if we're talking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, you know, salvation was never offered through the law, and we need to know that. So it's the faith that Abraham had that justified him, and the offspring of Abraham, if anyone was justified, it would have been by faith in God. And then we see the Apostle Paul revealing to us that we are spiritually in essence descendants of Abraham by faith. So at the cross, something radical comes into play. I mean, the name of Jesus is what saves by there's one name under heaven by which we are saved. The Jewish person is not going to use the name of Jesus. If they're looking to the law, they're not looking to Jesus. If they're looking to the Old Testament for salvation, well, salvation has come. I mean, Hebrews chapter 1 says God used to speak in various and sundry ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son. And then he goes on to say that Jesus is the exact representation of God, and by the third chapter in Hebrews he is saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So he's appealing to Jewish people in the book of Hebrews in the first three chapters. He's begging them, turn your eyes to Jesus. Don't have an evil, unbelieving heart. If you hear his voice, open your heart to Jesus Christ as Messiah. So today, now that we're sitting on this side of the cross and this side of the resurrection, we are all responsible to do something with the name of Jesus Christ. And so that is why a Jewish person today should not be looking to their lineage, their heritage, their tribe, their geography, their nationality, or anything else other than Jesus for salvation. So we will not find salvation in any other name, whether Jew or Gentile. We're all saved through the cross and resurrection. So that's the urgent message of today. And as far as a change of covenant, yes, there's been a change of covenant. Hebrews tells us that. And if we're going to look to Jesus, we can't even look to the Old Covenant. You know, the Old Covenant says that Jesus can't be our priest. I mean, the Old Covenant, in the law, it says if you're going to be a priest, you have to be a Levite. Well, Jesus is not a Levite. He's born of the tribe of Judah. So God did that on purpose. He's saying when there's a change of priesthood, there has to be a change of covenant. And that's exactly what we see with Jesus. It's the same God, but it's a new covenant. And Jesus is the author of that covenant. He brought it in at the cross. And that's why God's heart is to beg everybody in the nation of Israel and everybody in the world, for that matter, to come to Christ through the work of Jesus. There's no other way. He's the door. He's the gate. It's not a generic faith in God. It's calling on the name of Jesus Christ. That's what saves. Does that help?
So it was just a tragedy that those born before Christ, looking at it through your eyeglasses, so to speak, they just had bad luck, born when they were, and access to what they had.
Well, I don't think God would look at it as bad luck, because all along He was telling them about Jesus. I mean, from the very beginning, go back to Genesis 3, we see the story of Jesus unfolding. So they're waiting for a Messiah. They're living in constant expectation of God's promises to come forth on the scene. And so that's how they're saved in faith, looking forward to those promises. But as God sent prophets to the people of Israel, they kept rejecting the word of those prophets and latching on to the ideas and the philosophies and the religions and the gods of those nations surrounding them. And so their hearts were being hardened all along through this rejection. And then when Jesus stood in front of them and offered Himself, they rejected. And that was when God said, I'm going to send this message out to the Gentile world. And again, that's a part of His plan. That's a part of this story. Today, just as back then, it's a salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. And there's going to come a time at some point in the future when this message is going to go back and they're going to look upon Jesus for who He is and proclaim Him to be who He is. So God has always had his message of life out there for people in every generation, and it's just brought to fulfillment in Jesus in a very real and special way.
So in the Old Testament, there were tons of people that were saved. Just so that you understand, we believe that throughout the history of the world, many people have been saved, as it was put to Abraham, like the stars in the sky, like the sands on the beaches. I mean, there's going to be an unexpected amount of people that have been saved by a simple faith in God. And we believe that for the Jewish people and for Gentiles as well. So I think we're going to be blown over at the number of people who were justified by faith. And as far as it being just unlucky, well, we have to go back to the garden and say who decided what, and you know, who initiated this spiritual death. It wasn't God, it was us. So it's not really a matter of luck. It was us rebelling against life in God. So I know you had some other thoughts to share there.
Well, just that it's difficult for me, because I can see the Gentile, I'm understanding very well, as a practicing Christian, movements, the historical movements biblically, to bring a message to the Gentiles that probably, I'm guessing, God didn't want the Jews to carry, even if they could, the misteachings. They're rebuked, they're judged in John. And in New Testament, they're judged, and He explains why.
and I get the rejection right in front of them, to the idea of the Savior, but I have a hard time getting my arms around the idea that faith in God is for them and for their covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time throwing them under the bus, so to speak.
Yeah.
For considering that God will forsake their that they will not have salvation. That I have a hard time with.
Well, you think about how blessed they were to have the prophets and to have the lineage and heritage through which Jesus came, and you look over at Ephesians 2 and compare the people of Israel with Gentiles. Ephesians 2 says Gentiles were separate, excluded from the citizenship in Israel. They were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Gentiles were without hope and without God in the world. And then you say, ouch, that is going to leave a mark. I mean, you talk about not walking with God, not being led by Yahweh, not having a history with Him. Israel was God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament, and what a privilege that was for them to be blessed in that way. As far as who is blinding them today, I mean, the Apostle Paul says it's Satan that blinds people today. There was a partial hardening of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles came in, but now the gospel's all over the world. It's being proclaimed in, you know, all over the planet, and the bottom line is, if anybody is blinding people today, it is that's the work of Satan. God wants none to perish and all to believe. But, you know, we can't help it. We can't help it if the way is Jesus. We can't help it if He's the door, if He's the gate, if He says nobody comes to the Father except through me. We submit to that. And that's just reality, because if Jesus is life and if He's the only eternal life, then we can't look to another form of life. He is eternal life. And so Jews need that. Gentiles need that. Humans need that. And that's all the more reason to proclaim His name.
Well, Jeff, we hope that helps. A reference, a scriptural reference that you might be interested in is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 5 there. So take a look at that. So thank you so much for your call. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. It's been a long time.
Well, it has been. What's on your mind today?
Well, I had a question, but before I get to it, I just wanted to add my two cents to what you're telling Jeff. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, lists numerous faithful who all died before Jesus came. And at the end of the chapter, verses 39 and 40, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So they were all saved, but only after Jesus had come and did His work on the cross and been resurrected.
Made perfect with us. So, yeah, those are good words. Well, we just have a couple of seconds left here, William. So what was your question?
Well, my question is about 2 Thessalonians 3:10, where Paul writes that if anyone's unwilling to work, neither shall he eat.
Yeah.
Was that his personal conclusion, or did he extrapolate that from the curse that God put on man in the garden?
I think that is an apostle looking after a group of believers who have made a mistake of shutting down everything in expectation of the return of Christ. They think He's coming back tomorrow or next week. They've gone passive. They're not serving one another in love. They're not supporting their families. They've quit their jobs. And Bob, you know, the apostle Paul is just talking sense to them.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he's saying. So. Well, William, thank you for your call. It's always good to hear from you. We sure appreciate you, my friend. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us on today's edition. We got through as many questions as we could today. We have a lot more on the line for us for tomorrow. So be sure and join us as we look at some interesting subjects like Malachi and tithing, and is the earth old or young, and Why does God make us, let us make mistakes? Those are some of the topics we're going to be covering on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel. So be sure and tune in at that time. Again, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would love for you to come join in on this good work that God is doing through this ministry. All the information on how you can take part is available at basicgospel.net. Now for Andrew and me and all the team, we'll see you tomorrow.